All right, we're on page 2, and we're at the bottom of the page at letter P, where it said Peter knew before long his body would be put to death, just as the Lord Jesus had revealed to him. If you remember in John, where Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me, and the three times, and Peter's response and the Lord's response to him, and then the Lord told him, you know, when you was young, my paraphrase, when you was young, you did your own thing. You did went where you wanted to. When you get old, you're not going to do your own thing. You're going to actually be going where you don't want to go. Okay? And so, and he said this signifying his death. So Peter has known all along that he's going to die for the Lord. Now, that's the disciple. Okay? And so here, in this letter, it appears from his statements that he knew it wouldn't be long before he's going to fulfill the Lord's prophecy, or have the Lord's prophecy fulfilled over him, because of the opposition, the persecution against the Christian. Now, the interesting thing about this was that had been tried earlier. Remember when Herod killed James? Yep. Had Peter put him in prison, jail, and how he was supernaturally released. But this time he's not going to be supernaturally released. He has a mission to accomplish, just like Jesus had a mission to accomplish. Okay? And he's not complaining about it. He just says, he sort of like Paul telling Timothy, my departure is near at hand. You know? But I finished the course. That's always the key. Have you finished your course? It's not how old you are. Have you finished your course? If you're 90 and you haven't finished your course, finish your course. Okay? Peter declared that he would make every effort to see to it that his readers remember these things that he just shared with them after his death. Now, I'm telling you these things, well, when I'm dead and gone, I want you to remember it. I don't want this to be out of sight, out of mind, but I want you to remember these things when I'm long gone. Okay, get them instilled into people. See, this is a real objective with us. Is when we're dead and gone, this college should be going strong. You understand that? Keep it going. Keep the Word of God going. Keep applying the Word of God. This is what reproduction is all about. You know, the parents reproduce. All right, you live out a legacy in your life. And then you leave that legacy to your children. And it's amazing. I was looking at something the other day, and this woman had said, when I open my mouth, mama comes out. you instill into it. That's exactly what Jesus did with his apostles. He poured in, he poured in, and he poured in. And to the point that they took notice that they had been with Jesus. Why? They're acting like him. So some things took root and some things are producing. And that's what we do as teachers and ministers and all this. We pour into people, or even as witnesses, we pour into people for the purpose of planting seed with the expectation of that seed taking root and producing. But it's not automatic. There's something you have to do. We can put seed in, but read the fourth chapter of Mark, there's conditions of soil. And what the seed does is dependent upon the condition of the soil. If the soil rejects it, the seed can never germinate and produce. Or if it doesn't have sufficient soil, then the heat gets to it. And so many people, you did run well, but then the heat got to you. And people want to throw up their hands and quit. Some will depart from the faith. Why? Because they don't want to live the disciplined life. It's easier to live undisciplined. Look at this generation around you. They don't understand discipline, and consequently it overflows in all areas of their life, and they just flounder. They think life is make money and buy toys. They don't have a clue what life is about. Life's not about stuff. We're here to represent Jesus. We're here for a purpose of carrying on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. That's our purpose. But if we don't grasp hold of that and we do not demonstrate that, then the next generation is that much farther away from God. See, it's not what you preach, but what did you set before them as an example to follow? That's what they're going to do. It's not what you're saying, it's the example. I think of my own parents. I heard a lot of teaching. You understand? But what impacted me was not their teaching. I can't tell you a whole lot about their teaching as far as standing in front of a group and teaching. But I can tell you a lot about their life. I can tell you a lot about what they lived behind closed doors. And it was never a question in my mind whether or not they believed in what they taught. They lived it before me. And the life had impact on me more than the words. You understand? It was the life that had the impact. Well, that's the way it is today. Our life has impact upon people, either positively or negatively. But we're influencing people with our lives. That's why it's so important that we lay ours down so His can be lived through us. You know, was it Tuesday? What's today? Today's Tuesday. When was it Thursday that we played that song, His Life for Mine? Now, I've listened to that song. I don't know how many times I've listened to that song prior to playing it to you. But when that song was playing Thursday night, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Your life for mine." Now, I know that's the line of the song, paraphrased, but that's not what he was saying. See, the song saying is he gave his life. He took my life of sin and death to give me his life. I understand what the song's saying. But what God was saying to me, I'm offering exchange. Don't live your life anymore. Live my life. Live my life. That's exactly what Galatians 2:20 says. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me living." You see, we haven't gotten that yet. We're not willing to abandon the old way of life to take on that way of life of that new nature where it's always about God and others. Jesus expended his life doing the will of God and benefiting other people. Did he not? What did he do for himself? Know what sustained him, my meat, my food, what sustains me is doing the will of God. That's what should sustain us in this life, is doing the will of God. And you can't do it if you don't know it. And you can't know it without getting in the Word. Know God. Know the Father. Know God. Know the Son. Know God. Know the Holy Spirit. Know God in His fullness. You understand? Know God in His fullness. Not that you ever completely comprehend God. But you get enough insight and knowledge into God to realize that He wants us to be an extension of Him in earth. Just like it was with Jesus. Do you understand God reproduced Himself? When Jesus was born, God reproduced Himself. With what? His Word. Do you know that's exactly what God is wanting to do when a person's born again? You can't be born apart from the Word. Peter himself says, being born again by incorruptible seed, and he tells you that incorruptible seed is the Word of God. Okay? So God's Word is what? Going into our hearts for the sole purpose of reproducing God in earth. Now you have to ask yourself, is it working? Is God pleased? Does God like what He's seeing? God said about Jesus, I am well pleased. Does He say that about us? If not, let's improve. Right? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few. Have we been faithful? Have we been faithful? You see, one of the things Paul said, and this is interesting, because he says, I thank God who counted me. Now, the King James Version says faithful, but actually trustworthy. God saw that I was worthy of trust, so He entrusted the gospel to me. Let me tell you, this is incredible. God has entrusted the gospel to us. That's what reproduces. That's where the power of God is. The gospel is impregnated with the power of God, and we've been entrusted with that gospel. But what are we doing with it? Are we trustworthy? Worthy of trust. Okay? So God's deemed us that way, not only disappointing, do you? Of course not. So what do we do not to disappoint Him? Like Paul did, gave his life for Him. That didn't stop Paul from doing things. I mean, Paul was a tent maker. He worked. He didn't just preach. He worked too. He traveled all over. He did this, that, and the other. Okay. But what motivated him? He went to these places to give them the gospel. He didn't go there to sightsee. He went to give them the gospel. And he put himself in harm's way time after time after time. So people would that had not heard of Jesus could hear of Jesus. But we don't want to offend. That's just simply saying, I don't want to put myself in harm's way. When a person says, I don't want to offend, what they're saying is, I think more of me than them, and really, I want to protect my own hide. I don't want the flack. That's what they're saying. Well, you're going to have to get over that and just die to self. Now, I'm not talking about being obnoxious and overbearing. I'm talking about being firm and established in who you are and knowing who you believe, knowing what you believe, and you don't back down from that. What you're wanting to do is reproduce Jesus in earth, not hiding, to reproduce Him. Okay? Peter makes it clear that this message of the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not some cunning, devised myth. In other words, I didn't go in a cave and come up with this and figure this out and come up with some doctrine or opinion. He said, I was an eyewitness of His glory, His excellence, His strength, His splendor. And then He tells you where He was the eyewitness in the next verse. He said, Jesus received glory and honor from God the Father when a voice spoke to Him from that magnificent glory. And this is what the voice said. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. You understand he's talking about the 17th chapter of Matthew where it's recorded, one place, and how he, Peter and John, James, are there when Jesus is transfigured and Moses and Elijah talk to him. And they saw Jesus go through a transformation. They saw the splendor. They saw a glorified body. Eyewitness. He said, I'm not speaking a myth. I walked with the man. I witnessed what took place. I witnessed his death and I witnessed his resurrection. This is not some devised myth. This is absolute fact. And this, I'm an eyewitness. It's not hearsay. Let me tell you something. If you have ever had a genuine encounter with the Lord, you're an eyewitness. It doesn't matter what anybody or everybody says. When you've had the encounter, what they say means nothing. Because you've experienced. You understand? And when you've experienced the Lord, what everybody else says means nothing. It's like the Holy Spirit, for instance. A lot of people oppose the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And people try to teach on it, and teach this and teach that. They've never experienced Him. So you're trying to teach something you've never experienced. But I've experienced. So I know you don't know what you're talking about. So I'm not going to pay any attention to you. I'm not going to argue with you. But I know. Because I'm an eyewitness. It's not what mama said, daddy said, grandma said. Not what the preacher said. It's what I have experienced in Him. You see, the Lord, the Christian walk should be one experience to another experience. Experiences with the Lord to where you know Him better. You know Him from this perspective. Then you know Him from this perspective. You know Him from this perspective. See, it's not enough to just know Jesus as the remitter of sin. And so many people just stop right there. Well, I know Jesus as Savior. But do you know the fullness of that Savior? How about Jesus as healer? How about Jesus as deliverer? How about Jesus as provider? How about Jesus as peace? How about all these things, all these attributes of God? Do you know Him? You'll only know Him by experience. I think of Luke 24, the two men on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus joins Himself to them, and they're talking, and, you know, the resurrection's taking place, and they're not sure it's a resurrection. They're just going by the report the body's not there. And, you know, when He joins them, it says He opened the Scriptures. All of Moses' teachings in the law about Himself. And the prophets and the Psalms. But they didn't recognize Him. They didn't recognize Him through His teaching. You will not recognize God through His teaching. You get a lot of valuable information. You understand? But when did they know Him? When they invited Him to sit down and fellowship with them around the meal. You understand that's the highest fellowship. It's still the highest fellowship. People, you know, want to honor you or whatever. They take you out to a meal so often, or they prepare a meal before you. It says when He broke bread, their eyes were open. Those guys had an experience with the Lord. Now, they go back and tell the other apostles, they doubting. They doubting Mary's experience with them. With the Lord. Yeah, she had an experience with the Lord. But later on, they had an experience. They never doubted the resurrection after that ascension, did they? As a matter of fact, before he was ascended, just like when Jesus there preparing, and have you caught any fish? They've been fishing all night. Well, throw the net on the right side. Peter said, "That's the Lord," or John said, "That's the Lord." They didn't recognize him by appearance. They recognized him by character. They recognized him by his ways, you understand. And it changed their lives. And I'm telling you, people whose lives have not been dramatically changed have not had the encounter with the Lord. They don't know him by experience. Once you know him by experience, you can't be talked out of it. Right? It's like you hit your finger with a hammer, you know the pain. And somebody tells you, well, that's not painful. You know better. Because you've experienced it. Right? Experience the Lord. Nobody can talk you out of it once you've had that personal experience with Him. Jesus was received, or he received glory and honor from God the Father when that voice spoke. I mean, if you think about this, this is my son. It's with that when John baptized, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Here he said, this is my son in whom I'm pleased. And Peter declared that the voice that they heard speak came from heaven when they were with Jesus on the mountain. And then he's emphatic that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a more established word of prophecy to which we should pay attention. I want you to think about this. The prophecies of the Messiah. I mean, these prophecies were accurate. Peter said, we have a more sure word. The prophecies concerning the Messiah have already been fulfilled. So we don't look at the prophecies. We look at the person who fulfilled the prophecies. This is a more sure word than the prophecy. This is the product of the prophecy, if you will. So why not look at him? And really, that's what was going on. And I believe he probably got that from what God said on that mount that we call Transfiguration, okay? When the cloud overshadowed, and God made the statement, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear Him. Moses was gone, Elijah was gone. Moses represented the law, Elijah represented the prophets. What God's saying is, you're not focusing on the law. You're not focusing on the prophets. You focus on the Son. Hebrews chapter 1 says God in various times and various ways spoke to the people in these old times by the prophets. But today, He's not speaking that way. He's speaking by the Son. So the attention is to be on Jesus, isn't it? And you get this revelation out of the Word of God. So, we need to pay attention to the light that illuminates. And that light's Jesus. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, in the Word, in Jesus, was life. Now here's what happens. When a person's born again, life comes in them, and the life is the light or the illumination of men. So a person who's not born again is not capable of seeing the spiritual things of God. You can't see the kingdom of God, is what Jesus told Nicodemus. You can't even see it, let alone operate in it or enter it. You can't even see it until the light comes, until you're born again. Okay? And this is what Peter's talking about, how a natural light illuminates a dark place. Then we need to give attention to the Lord Jesus Christ or to the message. He said, what happens? The day dawns. In other words, you get revelation knowledge. You pay attention to that word until that word becomes a revealed word to you. And then that revealed word or the revelation comes. And then it says that the morning star arises, the light bearer. That's an interesting word, actually, if you look at it. It's where we get our word phosphorus. It's light, luminous, and then the star bearer. So the luminous bearer, Jesus bears illumination. In other words, Jesus, that it shines in us, and then it shines through us. Jesus gets in us, enlightens us, and then Jesus shines through us. He bears the light, not only in us, but in our hearts. Consequently, if it's in our hearts, it manifests itself through us, doesn't it? So, it's imperative that we know that no scriptural prophecy is a personal explanation. All these prophets that were prophesying, it's not like these so-called prophets today that are speculating. They want to give this explanation. They want to give that explanation. This is the way I see it. No, that's not the way it is. This, when God says it, it's absolute. It's true. And so all these prophecies were the Word of God, not the connivance of men. They didn't come as a result of man's determination. This Bible is the inspired Word of God. It didn't come from a man. It came through many men as the Holy Spirit inspired them. All other religions came through a person. That ought to tell you something. And often they've either changed things or put addendums to their words. God got it right the first time. He didn't need to do that, did he? No, those who prophesied spoke as representatives of God. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It shouldn't be any differently today. If we're going to stand up and say that God's inspired us to speak, then we'd better be inspired and saying what God said and not just prophesying out of our heart what we want for your life. You understand that prophecy can be used as a general term. Baal had his prophets. They prophesied before Ahab and Jehoshaphat. They just didn't prophesy the truth. And Jehoshaphat says, isn't there a prophet of God here? So you can have prophets of false gods. I'll tell you this. Many ministers, denominations, have their own prophets that are out speaking to give them the glory. In other words, they prophesy what the denomination says, what the denomination believes. They prophesy what the man thinks, believes, or whatever, but not what God says. So they're inspired, but not by God. The Scriptures are inspired by God. the gifts of the Spirit, which is actually manifestations, the manifestations of the Spirit is the Spirit manifesting. It's not the opinion of a person. It's not just some, as we say, gift operating through a person. It's the Holy Spirit manifesting through a person. You understand that when prophecy is spoken, someone gives a prophecy, if it's true, it's the Holy Spirit. And with any of the rest of them, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healings, and tongues, interpretations, all these things are the Holy Spirit manifesting Himself through an individual. But so often stuff comes forth that's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit manifesting Himself. It's man doing these things out of his own heart, inspired by situations, inspired by circumstances, inspired by desires. You know, I want your life to go well, but I do you injustice if I'm just, well, I'm going to prophesy over you, do you do well? Well, I'm going to speak well of you, but if I'm going to call it prophecy from God, then I need to have heard from God to where the Spirit of God is actually doing the given the utterance of it. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. There's so much deception going on today. And I got to a point that I despised manifestations. I despised them. Don't just sit down. I don't want to hear nobody else prophesy, and I don't want to hear no message in tongues. I'm like David, in my haste I said, all men are liars. You're standing up saying God, and it's not God. And the way I know that is my spirit is not bearing witness to it. And the Lord spoke to me through 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, despise not prophesy. Now, how many of you have ever seen a counterfeit $6 bill? You never seen one? You know why? You can't counterfeit a $6 bill because there's not one. But you can counterfeit a $5 bill. You can counterfeit the Holy Spirit because there is a true Holy Spirit. There are true manifestations. And so you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because somebody over here is out of line and saying things that aren't true doesn't mean there is not a true word of prophecy. You need to know the Word, and you need to have the Holy Spirit living in you to where you know if it's true. If it's not true, it is counterfeit. You don't look for the counterfeit. You look for the truth. And if I'm not bearing witness to it, I know it's not God. You can say, thus says the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, this scripture. But are you going to tell me God inspired you to say that? If He did, my spirit will bear witness to it. The Holy Spirit will bear witness to the Holy Spirit speaking. But if you're just standing up trying to look spiritual, the Holy Spirit in me is not going to bear witness when He's not the one that inspired it. I'm going to tell you, you can protect yourself just by having an experience with the Spirit of God, being sensitive to the Spirit, listening to the Spirit. Don't rely on your natural eyes and your natural ears. Look and hear from the inside. Okay? God's Word's true. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Believe it. Believe it. Consequently, do not believe anything that doesn't agree with the Word of God. It's a counterfeit. It cannot be true. if it doesn't agree with the Word of God. It can't be true. And we have a more sure word. He's in me. He's in me. How do I know Jesus is my Savior? I have the witness. He's in me. It's real. Consequently, you can't convince me otherwise. You see all that? Good. All right. We okay? I'm going to stop there. We finished the first chapter. Okay.